Praise the Lord this Thursday evening. God is so good. Here for just a little bit, I want to speak to you on the thought of coming to the end of oneself. I want to take me a passage of scripture from Genesis 32, beginning in verse 24. Genesis 32, beginning in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince has thy power with God and with men hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me what me, I pray, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou doest ask my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, "For I have seen the God face to face, and my life is preserved." This evening, we're going to speak to you just a little bit on the thought of coming to the end of self. Sometimes you got to come to the end of self in order to go to where God is wanting you to go. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, dear God, to come before you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to just touch, dear God, and give me the words you would have me to speak, Lord, in this little devotional time tonight, Lord. Father, we pray for your hand, Lord, and we pray for your anointing, dear God. Lord, that you touch somebody, you reach somebody tonight, Lord, and we honor you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Right here in Genesis 32, we see a man who was afraid, and probably he was greatly distressed, and sometimes we all find ourselves in that situation. Probably right here we'll find that Jacob does not really know what to do according to his situation where he finds himself in tonight. When he was in that place of distress, that problem that he had that was coming his way. And no doubt, most of us in here are listening tonight or hearing this message at a point in time would say to theirself, "I've been in that same boat," or some of you are in there tonight having a great problem and finding yourself distressed and knowing not what to do. But I'm going to tell you tonight, despite that everything that Jacob was going through, despite the distress that he was facing right here, this night would turn into his greatest blessing tonight. So you say, what was Jacob going through right here? What was the issue that Jacob was facing? What was the cause of this distress? Well, the cause of this distress was a family problem. It was his brother Esau, if you will. After all, Jacob's last memory of Esau was not a pleasant one. He knew his brother hated him, and he knew that he thought Esau was coming to kill him. After all, we know the story of Jacob. We know how Jacob had deceived the birthright, and he used trickery. Jacob was a tricker. He was a deceiver, no doubt about that. But now it was time for him to meet his brother again. And just the thoughts of what could happen, what could take place, began to grab a hold of Jacob, thinking now his brother was coming, and he was coming to kill him and his family. So this was Jacob's way of thanking him and thinking what was going on right here. Thinking about what could be. And you see, you begin to understand that Jacob began to focus on the what if. Jacob began to focus on what could happen. Jacob began to focus on what could take place. Jacob began to focus on what may happen. You see that what may happen is a lot of times what will not happen. Too often we focus on the what ifs and not what could God do. We focus on what is going to happen and not what God will do tonight. You see, but on this night, Jacob would have an encounter with the Lord. You see, I'm going to make this statement, and I'll make it strong, that God was not concerned about Esau. God was concerned about Jacob. We'll understand that God was getting ready to do something new in Jacob's life. After this night, his life would change for the good. His life would change for the better. His name would change from Jacob, meaning the holder of the heel, until Israel, meaning a prince of God, or ruler with God, if you will. You see, what I'm trying to tell you tonight is sometimes we got to come to the end of ourselves in order for God to take you where He wants you to be. In this story, we're going to see that exactly. This is what God was doing to Jacob, but in order for Jacob to get to where he needed to be, can I tell you, God, he had to get to the end of himself. You see, what was God concerned with Jacob right here? God was concerned about the character and the faith of Jacob. And this night, Jacob's life would change. Too often, just like Jacob, we think Esau is the problem. But that's not what the real problem was at all right here. In this story, Jacob thought his problem was Esau. But can I tell you, the real issue was not Esau. Jacob's real problem was not Esau. Jacob's real problem was Jacob. Did you hear me? Jacob's real problem was Jacob. Just like many out there today, their real problem is their self that's in the way. The real problem and their worst enemy, it's been said, your own worst enemy is yourself. Well, let me tell you something tonight. Right here, we'll find out Jacob's real issue was his self tonight. You see, we'll look right here for just a going back to this story. We find Jacob at a place of fear. In Genesis 32 and 11, the words of Jacob said, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." So what are we seeing? We're seeing Jacob, who was afraid of what if. He was afraid about being killed. Jacob right here on this night was full of fear. Let me tell you about fear for just a little bit. Fear will paralyze. Fear will kill. Just the thought of the strongest men can be brought down and paralyzed and destroyed by fear. Think about it tonight. Many people will die because of fear. People are scared today. People are bound by fear. But how many know out there tonight that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but He gave us the power of a sound mind? You see, just think about Jacob, the thought, how fear was operating in Jacob. Fear operates in the mindset, if you will. Fear operates in the what ifs. What could be? What could happen? Fear operates through that mindset of someone. The thinking about what could be, what if you will. What was going through Jacob was the what ifs. What is his brother going to do to him? Is his brother going to kill him and his family? Just think about that night, Jacob. After all, Jacob had deceived him, and he thought now his brother had come to even the course. He'd come to pay to get Jacob back and to murder him and to kill him right there. Fear had literally gripped Jacob this night. Fear had literally grabbed a hold of Jacob right there. We see him. You see, tonight, fear brings forth torment. Just like Jacob, they are admitting that many that are fighting the same thing that he did. They are fighting the what if. Some of you are fighting the what ifs tonight. What if, what if, what if. This country tonight is facing fighting the what ifs. Why do you see fear running rampant in this land. They're thinking about the what ifs. Huh? They make the equation they are leaving out, that many are leaving out tonight, is God. Throughout Scripture, bad things have happened to saints of God, but there's a common theme, but God. Joseph, but God. He had the favor of the Lord upon him, but fear itself can torment. Fear itself can bring forth torment inside of your mindset. How many times have your mind been occupied with the what ifs, if you will? The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:8, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear had torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We know that he prayed that God would deliver him from the hand of his brother, because of fear what Esau would do. Then we see Jacob, he would say, well, I prayed. Now Jacob said, I'm going to bring him gifts. I'm going to get all these gifts that I'm going to give to him. Maybe that will ease him from killing me. Maybe he'll stop it and he'll accept these as repayment for what I've done before him. Maybe he won't kill me if I give these gifts. But I want you to know tonight that once again, I'm going to tell you, God was not concerned with Esau, but God was concerned with Jacob. God was going to bring Jacob to the end of his rope. See, I want you to know, Jacob was getting ready to experience a change. Jacob was getting ready to go to the place of influence where God wanted him to go. Tonight, I want you to know, sometimes you've got to come to the end of yourself in order to get to the place where God would have you to go. Sometimes you got to come to the end and say, enough is enough. And you got to come to the point and say, I need you, God, in order to get where God is wanting you to go. Sometimes you've got to get desperate. Sometimes you're going to have to get desperate. You're going to have to get yourself out of the way in order for the Lord to get into the way. You see, on this night right here, this night he was full of fear. This night that he would have the change, we'll see. This night that he would go through this great battle. Can I tell you, Jacob's life would change forever because Jacob would have an encounter with God. In Genesis 32:24-26, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. That night in that wrestling match, can I tell you that Jacob had an encounter that would change his life. On a night that he was full of fear, on a night that he came to the end of himself, that was the night that God would bless him. Let me tell you, A.W. Tozer said it like this. He said, the Lord cannot fully bless a man until he hath fully conquered him. We will see that God conquered Jacob that night. We will see that Jacob surrendered himself to the Lord tonight. We will find out Jacob surrendered himself to God that night. And when you begin to give God everything, that's when God will begin to turn your life around. When you fully surrender to God, that's when God will begin to bless you. That's when God will begin to do great works inside of your life. Let me tell you, God's got to fully conquer a man. A man must surrender himself to the Lord. You see, God met Jacob on the level of his faith, if you will. God meets us where at the level where he finds us. God will meet us whatever level he finds us in order to lift us where he wants us to be. To Abraham, the pilgrim, God came to him as a traveler. To Joshua, who was a general, he came as a soldier. Man, when Jacob right here, how many, I'm going to tell you tonight, you may not know this, Jacob was a wrestler. And God came to him as a wrestler. You see, Jacob spent most of his life wrestling with people. such as Esau, Isaac, Laban, and even his wife. So we see the Lord coming to Jacob as a wrestler right there. Psalms 18 and 26 says, "With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself forward." See, God came to where Jacob was and what Jacob done. Just like he came to Abraham, who was a pilgrim as a traveler. God came to Jacob as a wrestler. He's coming to you where he finds you at tonight. Listen, but let me tell you a couple things real quick tonight. This is just a quick sermonette of what I preached Wednesday night. And I wanted to get this on here a little bit tonight. Because I'm telling you, people need to surrender to God tonight. When you come to the end of your rope, that's when you will find the blessings of God. When you get to the point that says, "I've got to have you more than anything," you will find God right there. One of the first things I want you to know on this night, that Jacob was left alone. Jacob had gotten up, took his two wives, two maidservants, and 11 sons, and crossed the stream. And now Jacob was left alone. God had gotten Jacob to the place that he wanted him. Just God and Jacob. Listen, tonight, sometimes you got to get to the place where you're alone. Being alone is not necessarily a bad thing. Being alone is not necessarily a bad thing, because that's where you can find God. See, but when you've got everything and everyone else around you, there's distractions there. Now, with Jacob's family gone, it was just God and Jacob that night. There were no distractions. Nothing can hinder just the two of them. See, I'm convinced sometimes God will get us into the solitary place in order to get us just Him, you and Him, just you and God. I'm convinced God will get us to the place where we're all alone. He will remove the distractions and get us to the place of loneliness, where it's just you and God on a one-on-one level. No distractions or anything, nothing that can take away what God's trying to say in your life, where there's just two voices, yours and God. No other voices coming in, no other things to distract you, but you and God. See, sometimes God just wants it, you and Him, where there's no one else around, no distractions around. See, I found out a long time ago that when you get to the point when you're alone, that's when one will come to the end of their self. When one is alone, one comes to the end of their resources. They are. And these are the times where God can do things in our life. These are the times where God can move in our life and do great things in our life. When it's just you and God. See, many times we get so distracted, we miss out on the blessings of God because we got all the distractions around us. We miss out on what God's doing. We fail to hear His voice because there's many voices, many distractions trying to hinder us from hearing what God's got to say, from receiving what God's wanting to do. But when we're alone and no distractions, that's when people are liable to pay attention to what God is saying. That's when God's got your attention. It's just you and Him, one-on-one tonight. Spurgeon said it like this. Charles Spurgeon said it like this. He said, "There are times when solitude is better than society, and silence is wiser than speech." I'll tell you, he hit it head on the nail right there with that statement. Sometimes solitude's good for us, where we can get alone and commune with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not only was Jacob alone that night, Jacob met God that night. A wrestling match took place. Jacob was just not wrestling a man. He was wrestling a God, who I believe was a pre-incarnate Christ right there. How do we know it was God?
Because what Genesis 32 and 30 says, "And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face." We know the story. He couldn't prevail. God touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. You ain't going to win a wrestling match with God. I believe Jacob learned something that night. I believe he discovered something that night. He spent most of his life fighting God and resisting his will. And that night, I believe Jacob realized the way to victory is through surrender. Surrender to God. Surrender your life to God. Surrender your problems to God. Surrender your situation to God tonight. You've got to put it in the hands of God. Surrender it and lay it there. Some of you got some big problems, and I'm going to tell you, lay it in the hands of God. Surrender to God. There's people that need to surrender their life to God. And the only way to through victory is to surrender. See, not only did Jacob meet God that night. I got to get this in. Jacob met himself that night. And Jacob desired blessings, no doubt about that. He wanted the blessings of God. But before he could get to where the blessings of God, he had to come to the end of himself and admit what he was. Notice the Lord right there asking, "What is thy name? What is thy name?" In verse 27 of Genesis 32, and he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." No doubt God knew exactly who he was. He knew who he was, but there's something more to this. He wanted Jacob to admit who he was and what he actually was. Now this comes hard because men tends not to like to yield to the truth. We want to think of ourselves in glowing terms, minimizing our mistakes while magnifying the mistakes and failures of others. But right here was the end of Jacob. He was at the end of himself right here tonight. He admitted that he was a deceiver. When he said, "My name's Jacob," he was saying, "I'm the deceiver. I am the trickster. I am the supplanter." In other words, he said, "I'm the rotten one. My righteousness is filthy rags. I'm nothing." Jacob was admitting who he was. Right here. This means he was at the end of himself right here. Folks, let me tell you, sometimes God's got to get us to the end of ourselves. It took God 40 years to get the Moses out of Moses. But when we come to the end of ourselves, we're getting ready to step into a blessing that night. Real quickly, understand that God blessed him that night. There was a name change for Jacob that night. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince has thy power with God and with men has prevailed." You see, in the Bible times, a name change signified new beginnings. This was Jacob's fresh start. He may have lost the battle earlier, but he had won the victory right there. You see, let me tell you, no longer he was Jacob the deceiver. No longer was he Jacob the trickster. No longer was he Jacob the supplanter. But now he was a God-empowered prince right here. Just like Paul, who had to fight his own battle. He had his own battle to fight. Jacob becomes strong only when he become weak. When do we get weak? When we come to the end of ourselves. 2 Corinthians 12 and 10 says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong." Listen, right there you go. "For when I am weak, I am strong." That's when Christ is strongest in my life, at my weakest. I want you to know something, people, tonight. God really has a purpose and a plan for your life, for here and now. And for that purpose to be done, there had to be no more Jacob. Jacob had to come to the end of the self, his self. Now, when you get to the place where you can come to the end of yourself, you'll find out that God will bless you and take you to where He wants
you to be. Tonight, I challenge you. Where are you at? Are you at the end of yourself? Or are you trying to hang on to yourself? Maybe it's time for somebody to surrender to God. Surrender yourself. Surrender your life to God. Surrender your problem to God. Surrender your situation to God tonight. Lay it in His hand. Lord, I'm at the end of myself. I'm giving it to you tonight. Challenge you tonight. Give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. Tonight, I'm telling you, there's people battling things, and you need to come to the end of yourself in order for God to take you where He wants you to go. That's where Jacob had to go. He had to come to the end of the self in order for God to take him to where He wanted him to go. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to minister your word online tonight. We honor you and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Touch those that may be out there. Let them surrender themselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.